Morning, everybody, and welcome to the Sunday morning adult discussion group here at Wings Christian Fellowship, where we just love to talk about our Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
And today, well, let's just say the last time we had Sunday school, we went through Matthew chapter 10 through verse 15 is where we read. And that was where Jesus put the anointing for healing on the disciples for a season, told them to go out two by two, gave them very specific instructions on what to do. And I'm sure it took them all by surprise. Hey boys, go on out, heal yourselves some folk. And they're saying, huh? Lord, oh Lord. Now, you know, I never really thought about that much, but that must have been quite a shock. Quite a shock to their spirit, to their soul, to their bodies. We're going to do what? Well, he says, you've seen me do it. Go out and do like I do.
Sure did.
Hallelujah. Ooh. And you think that's kind of what he's saying to us? Yeah. Hallelujah.
Well, you know, remember that there was one time when they had some, I can't remember if it was someone that was possessed or something, and they couldn't handle that.
Yeah.
And he told them that that kind only came about by much prayer and fasting, you know. So.
But and honestly, that type of prayer and fasting would have to go before the coming in contact with that person.
Yes.
And in order to do that, you would have to know, you know, you'd have to know all things. So there was, you know, there were some things that as non-Christ that we could not do, or they could not do as Jesus could, because he was he was the perfect Son of God.
Well, he stirred the faith in them, you know, to where they could do things that maybe they could have done all along, you know what I mean? Possibly, had they really been in a relationship with God to where they could hear his voice clearly and stuff. Because, you know, you've seen Elijah and some of the prophets, some of the stuff that they did, you know. And, you know, even Elijah one time raised a young boy from the dead, you know. And, you know, but see, a lot of times we make a mistake sometimes because we say that person did that, and they really didn't do that. They were directed of the Holy Spirit to do what they did. And that's where sometimes I think some Christian folks get a little out of whack, because they think that just because they want to do something, if God isn't directing you to do that, then you might be very disappointed at the results, you know what I'm saying? So, I think I told you, I'll talk for a minute, but I think I told you that story about that guy that came into church one time when David Halls was supposed to be at church and speak and on a Wednesday, and he was coming on those Wednesday nights, and he wasn't gonna be there that night, and I didn't know that. But when I was at home, I told Margaret, I said, I don't know why, but I feel like I'm going to speak tonight, you know. And I was still fairly young Christian. I was an elder, but fairly young in that. And I just told her, I said, I don't know why. And then when I got to church, Audrey told me, she says, Brother Oscar, David Halls isn't going to be here tonight. She says, and Brother Eddie's not going to be here tonight. She says, I guess you got it. But I have to admit, I let my flesh flare up a little bit, because I thought, you could have called me and told me, you know what I mean? And I didn't, I did get a little bit aggravated at her. So I told her, I said, well, I'll tell you what, Audrey, how about you get up and speak first, and then I'll get up after you.
She gave her testimony.
Yeah, she gave her testimony.
Yeah.
But the thing about it was, is this one guy who, he showed up for all the David Halls things. He got up and wanted to testify, and he said, I was having meetings in my basement, home meetings in my basement. I think I told you all this before. I was having home meetings in my basement, he said, and this teenage boy came in there and he had a boom box up on his shoulder. He was playing that music real loud and stuff, and he said, and I told him, you need to get out of here, you know, or something like that, you know. And he said, yeah, didn't leave, and he said, and I prayed and said, in the name of Jesus, I want that boombox to shut off or whatever it was, you know. He said, nothing happened. And he was really distraught over that, you could tell. And I thought, but God didn't tell you to do that. Mm-hmm. He didn't tell you to do that. Maybe what God wanted him to do was go over and love on the boy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Rather than start rebuking him in the name of Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And I could tell he was really upset because it didn't go off, you know. And so many times we think that we can take the Word of God and make it work instead of working with the Word of God. And the Lord, you know, revealed that to me a long time ago. You know, if I'm not telling you to do something, don't be so quick to jump up and go do something. You know what I mean? And I mean, if somebody asks you to pray for them or something like that, you know. But I don't know if any of y'all ever knows, but a lot of times I pray that God's perfect will be done. And that, you know, that kind of, I pray that kind of prayer because I put it back on the Lord. Because what's the scripture say? It says, if there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders and let them pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord, I like that, the Lord will raise them up.
Yes.
If he chooses not to raise them up, then he chooses not to raise them up. You don't need to go away feeling down in the mouth or like you failed or nothing like that, because it has to be the Lord, you know. So anyway.
That's very.
Didn't that kid tell him he just put all new batteries?
Yeah, he told him, he said, Mister, I just put all the batteries in it.
No, it ain't going on.
It was kind of funny when he said that, but he wasn't trying to be funny because he was really distraught over that thing didn't go off when he prayed that prayer.
Yeah.
I had to try to keep from smiling when he said that because I thought.
And that kid. It would have to be by divine order.
He was letting him know that just because you said something, if I didn't tell you to say that.
Oh, you know, it seems like all week long.
Yeah, it's funny.
This song has been going over and over in my head. Bless the Lord,
yes.
And let all that is within me bless his holy name. Amen. And it's not like, bless the Lord. It's like, hey. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Yes.
It's a direct command from the Spirit of God.
Uh-huh.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. You get your soul blessing the Lord, and not trying to take over the steering wheel. You'll be in one accord with the Lord.
Be in one with.
Bless the Lord. Be in submission to the Lord.
Can I tell you something that
sure.
will go right along with what you're saying there about the soul? The soul is the feminine aspect of us, you know. The spirit is the masculine aspect. The Spirit of God, in union with our soul, can bring forth nothing but the Son of God. You know, it'll be birthed in you. But, you know, I think you guys have an amplified Bible, right? If you turn to Ephesians, I think it is the fifth chapter. I believe that's where it's at. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Paul talks about, the relationship of marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love the way it says it in the Amplified Bible.
Which verses are you looking at? Oh, why?
Yeah. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, I'm pretty sure that it says.
Yeah.
Okay.
Starts around 22.
There it is, okay. Yeah. In the King James, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, the church is subject to Christ. Let The wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, and might sanctify it, cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Read that in the Amplified Bible.
22.
From 22 down to 26.
Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourself to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. And as the church is subject to Christ, so are wives also be subject in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word. That, and you want me to go over, he might present the church to himself in glorious splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and faultless. You want me to read more?
Yeah.
Even so, husbands should love their wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. And he who loves his own wife loves himself. For no man ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and carefully protects and cherishes it, as Christ does the church, because we are members, parts of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
Okay, that isn't what I wanted to hear, but there's another portion in there. Let me find it here. I'll get to you in just a second.
While you're doing that, I wanted to just say one thing. I was reading along, and there was this, wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, to your own husbands.
Yeah.
It says that works for submit or does not appear in the regular Greek. It's wives, yourselves, with your husbands. You're one. In other words, it doesn't even say submit yourself to them. Be one with them.
Yeah.
What it really actually means.
Okay, just a second. I'll get it here in a second. Okay, let's go to. Come on. This thing.
Wives, with your husbands, as unto the Lord.
This mystery is very great, but I speak concerning the relation of Christ and the church.
Yeah. Well, let's see. I have to find it here.
Yeah, I don't think it's there in Ephesians, somewhere else.
Let's see here, man.
Down there also, here's a reference in 1 Peter 3, 2.
Okay, I'm having just a second there. I pulled up my Amplified here, so I can get it for you. Okay. anyway, what I was looking for, and I'm having a hard time finding that. What I was looking for is where he said, I speak concerning Christ and the church. And maybe it might be in sixth chapter. I don't obey your parents. Let's see. I might be in the wrong chapter there. Let's see. Going back to Galatians. I don't know what's my last thing. Stupid thing. It's not going to Ephesians.
I went to Peter. And
3. You got. What's in your in there?
Okay, here's let's see if I can find it here. Here's what it says. Let's see.
Where are you reading out of?
This should be the Amplified Bible. It says, wives, be subject to your own husbands as a service to the Lord, for the husband's the head of Christ. And it says, husbands, love your wives. Seek the highest good for her, or surround her with caring love, unselfish love. Christ loved and gave himself, and that they might sanctify the church, cleansing by the washing of the water of the word, so that in turn he might present himself a glorious splendor without having spot or wrinkle. He who loves him, his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own body, protects it, Christ. And then it says, let's see. What it says, wives, love your own husbands. It's when it was in my Amplified at Home, which I'm having a hard time finding here right now, but in my Amplified at Home, it says, let the wife see that she reverences her husband. I don't know where that one is. Did you see that?
That's in 1 Peter 3:2. It says, and married women submit to her, rules on down, but it says, when. And do obey the word of God. Yourselves adapt to them, so even if they do not obey the word, they may be won over by the discussion and the godly life. Then it goes and says, when they observe the pure and modest way in which you conduct yourselves together to reverence your husband, you are to feel for him. All that reverence includes to respect, defer to, revere him.
Okay.
Honor,
okay.
Esteem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says let the wife see that she praises him, mm-hmm. loves him, honors him, does all these things. That's what it says in the Amplified that I have. You might have a different one, I don't know. But anyway, and that's what we need to be doing to the Lord. That
yes.
that we defer to him, we praise him, we honor him, you know, all of those kind of things. And I was thinking that was in Ephesians, though.
What's that? There's Ephesians 27. Isn't that what you started out with? He might present
yeah.
the church.
It could have been Peter. It might have been Peter, what I was the scripture I was thinking of. That's possible.
Yeah, because it goes on, like you said, to adore him. That is to admire, praise, devoted to, deeply love, and
yeah.
enjoy your husband. Let yours be merely not.
And Paul said, I speak concerning the church.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it said?
Let me see where it goes on down.
What chapter are you in on that one?
Third,
okay.
Third chapter and 1 Peter. Let me see.
Mm-hmm.
taxes, and he is. I read in the third and the fourth and first Peter.
Okay, I see what it says here. Well, anyway, we might as well move on because I can't find it, what I'm looking for. So maybe I wasn't supposed to say it.
When you take that, I think that women, this is just my opinion, it's not out of the Bible. As you move down the merry road of marriage, you learn a lot of things. And by the time, you know, your hair is gray, your brain is a little smarter. I'll tell you what.
I hope so.
You can dig your own grave by showing your husband where he's wrong.
Yeah.
In so many things. And if you just replace husband and wife with soul and spirit. The soul is so completely satisfied being treated the way the spirit treats the soul. If the soul reverences the spirit, if the soul submits to the spirit, if the soul admires and, you know,
gives praise, gives
yes,
honor, gives,
yes,
yeah,
especially
respect.
Yes, and there's a there is a secret for being content in a marriage by a woman taking the place of this of the soul, because the soul is the thing that has a problem with feelings, with anger. The spirit generally doesn't. The spirit is God, the spirit of God. But when you learn to submit to the spirit, even if you're submitting to the spirit of God within your slightly imperfect husband, you know, you learn, or you, the benefit is a life of contentment. And always knowing that God knows what's best, regardless. One of these days I'm gonna get that down pat. Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. You guys want to go on and read a little bit further?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Okay. Let's start with
you want me to, he left at 15.
Yeah, start at 16.
16.
Yeah.
Behold, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wary and wise as serpents, and be innocent, harmless, guileless, and without falsity as doves. Be on guard against men whose way or nature is to act in opposition to God, for they will deliver you up to councils and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, mm-hmm. as a witness to bear testimony before them and to the Gentiles, the nations. But when they deliver you up, do not be anxious about how or what to speak. You are to speak, for what you are to say will be given to you in that very hour and moment. For it is not you who are speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will take a stand against their parents, and all will have them put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who perseveres and endures to the end will be saved from spiritual disease and death in the world to come. When they persecute you in one town, that is, pursue you in a manner that would injure you and cause you to suffer because of your belief, flee to another town, for truly I tell you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes.
Was that 23?
Yes.
Let's stop
in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Because that's pretty, in other words, Jesus is telling
reverence.
You've got a hard road ahead, to say the least. And I'm wondering, as I'm listening to you read that, if he is talking about this span of time, this little short span of time that I'm sending you out with the authority and the dominion to heal, if this is going to be the time, just at this time, that they are going to hate you and they're going to, they're going to bring you before governors and kings for my sake? Because I don't really remember that happening then, but it might be. Or might not be. I'd like to hear your opinion. He's talking about from now until the
end. Yeah, because of your testimony
of
him.
Yes.
Okay,
there it is.
Found it?
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Ephesians 5:32.
There it was.
5:33, actually, yeah. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right.
Okay. It says, this is a mystery too, becoming one is great. For I am speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church. However, each man among you, without exception, to love his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects, delights in her husband, that she notices him, prefers him, treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear. Pretty strong, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But when he said, I'm really speaking about Christ and the church. So he is our husband. So we're to do those things to him. We're to respect. We're to delight in him. We're to notice him, we're to prefer to him, we're to treat him with loving concern, we're to treasure him, we're to honor him, and we're to hold him dear. So, you know.
Yes, he says exceedingly.
I didn't go down far enough is what it was. Mm-hmm. I was up at the top. I knew it was in Ephesians. I was thinking it was in Ephesians, the fifth chapter.
Gotta dig down.
Yeah.
Chapter at the end, it says there's another part in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 2.
Uh-huh.
It says, assume that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace,
uh-huh.
his unmerited favor that was entrusted to me to dispense to you for your benefit. The secret was made known to me, and I was allowed to comprehend it by direct revelation,
yeah.
as I already briefly wrote to you. Peter was saying that to
See in verse 31, it says this, it says, "For this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother, and he shall be joined and faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery of two becoming one is great, but I am speaking with reference to the relationship of Christ and the church.
Yes.
However, each man among you, without exception, is to love his wife, his wife as his very own self, with behavior worthy of respect and esteem, always seeking the best for her, with an attitude of loving kindness. And the wife must see to it that she respects and delights in her husband, and that she notices him, she prefers him, she treats him with loving concern, treasuring him, honoring him, and holding him dear." That's pretty strong there. But in King James it says, "See that she reverences her husband." It just says the word reverence. But that's what they're saying, that word reverence actually
means.
Yeah. So if we fall short in doing those things toward the Lord, then we're not really fulfilling what Paul's saying there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he says, "I'm really speaking about Christ and the church. I'm not really speaking about the natural thing." But even in the natural, if a woman does that to her husband, he will run through a wall for you.
That is so true.
That's the truth. You know, the women of old, and I'm going to say in ancient times, don't take this the wrong way. In one sense, they were smarter than women today, because women today are looking to be independent and everything, see. They knew how to get a man to do what they wanted him to do. Because I can tell you, if a woman comes to a man and says, "Honey, I need the blinds hung up in the other room, and you're so big and strong, and I just can't hardly do that. Could you do that for me?" Oh, he'll climb up that ladder and hang them things up for you right now. But if you come and say, "Now I want you to get in there and hang up them blinds," you know, forget it. The blinds ain't going up. And I'm just telling you, there's a real key there, even in natural relationship. You know, it's, what's that old saying about, you catch more flies with sugar than you do with vinegar?
Yeah.
And that's the truth. And, you know, nowadays, because women are more independent, you know, and they do have rights, and women should be treated with the same rights as a man. I totally agree with that. But there's some real wisdom there when you realize what that's actually saying. He's saying, he's really talking about Christ and the church. And I like the way the Amplified puts it, because it said she noticed him, she esteems him, she does all these things. But it's talking about, he said, "I'm really talking about the relationship of Christ and the church." But when you realize that in the natural, if you tend to do that kind of stuff to a man in the natural, they will do way more for you than they ever would. Margaret told Minnie one time, Minnie was kind of an aggressive type person. She had bought something for the bathroom, and because she was using that bathroom downstairs in our house. And she was fussing at Margaret because I had fixed something in there. And Margaret told him, she says, "Mommy," she says, "that isn't the way to get him to do anything." She says, If I just leave him alone, he'll fix it when he gets ready to fix it, you know. She said, "But if I start fussing at him, he won't fix it." and it's the truth. I mean, because I mean, it's bad to say. It sounds like I'm very rebellious, but to be honest with you, that's the truth. I mean, that's not the way to get somebody to do something. If you approach them in the right way, they'll do it much better. And that's the same with the Lord. You know, we need to approach him with joy and love, and tell him how great he is, you know, and it ain't that you're going to manipulate him, but those are just all true facts, you know, with the Lord. And but a lot of times people will call you a chauvinist or something if you say those kind of things, you know, but really, it really does make a difference, and it really does work. I can tell you, as being a man, that, and you could probably say the same thing, if she comes and asks you to do something in a really nice way and tells you how good you are at that kind of stuff, and that, you know, you'll kill yourself trying to do that for her, you know.
I'll kill myself. Do it.
Yeah, I know, but you'll put forth a big effort to do it, yeah. But anyway.
I think that's one reason why, since I've stopped working, I have nothing, in my own heart, I feel like I have nothing to brag about.
Uh-huh.
You know, he takes care of me.
Yeah, well, that's good.
And
he should take care of
you.
I mean, you know, he's fulfilling his part of that. He
but
should do that.
When I worked, I could always deceive myself and say, well, bless God. You know, I've done this, and this, and I can take care of myself and, you know, and have that.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't think that's a good God-like feeling, you know, or attitude.
Yeah.
Whether it's with a man or a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a two-way street. Like, she'll fix dinner and I'll do the dishes. That's why I got these fan hands. And, you know, her knee's hurting and I'll do the
right.
I'll do the, you know, the housework.
Things have changed. Things change when
you know, long as I'm able.
Yeah.
Right. But, yeah.
And see, it's like with me and Margaret, I will offer to do things for her, and she won't hardly let me do anything for her. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it actually kind of makes me mad once in a while because, you know, like if she's done the wash downstairs, I know that her back hurts, I know her legs hurt her and stuff like that, and I will tell her, tell me when you're ready for the clothes to go upstairs. I will take them upstairs. And if I'm not paying real close attention to her, she'll have the basket full of clothes and trying to hustle them up the stairs. Hmm. And I told her, don't do that. And I actually followed that a couple times. You need to quit doing that. Mm-hmm. I'll take them upstairs. Just tell me that you've got something ready to go upstairs, you know. And like, it took me years to get her to show me how to run the washing machine. You know, because she just doesn't want to give anything over in that area, you know what I mean? I told her, I said, I'll help you do anything for you that you need done. You got to tell me, though, that you need something done. I can't read your mind, because she'll do something sometimes, and then she'll act like she's aggravated because I didn't help her. Well, I didn't know she needed help. She didn't tell me she needed help. You can't read somebody's mind, you know.
When I was sick last year, I was not allowed to pick anything up over 10, not even a gallon, a gallon of milk. And during that time, I would have to say, honey, would you bring out the laundry basket? Honey, you know, would you fill my water thing in the refrigerator?
Right.
You know, honey, honey, honey. It was just, and he delighted in
doing it. I'm sure he was glad doing it for
you.
Yes. Sure.
Well, you know, I was taught that by a good teacher, and that was my mom. Do for your wife.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Especially things like, you know, lift the stuff and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the doing dishes and doing that came later.
Well, and you know what? There's not a thing wrong with doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I have a situation where she doesn't want me to do that stuff. Mm-hmm. She wants to do it.
She likes it done her way.
Well,
that's the way most.
Well, she is very, very.
Persnickety.
that's saying it lightly, you know. No, she does. she reminds me a lot of my brother. She's a lot like my brother. She wants stuff just perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, life ain't perfect. You know, and I mean it's like. That's like painting. For years, she's always done almost all the painting in the house. And it isn't because I can't paint. I can paint, too. But it's just, it doesn't suit her, you know, unless she trims it and does all the things, you know.
She likes it perfect.
She likes it. Yeah, you're right. Now, if I got a little bit of paint on something, I'll wipe it off. You know, I don't care. And, you know, I mean, you know, you've got to kind of look at things in life. I like what Miles used to say a lot of times. He said, will it matter in 100 years? Will it even matter a week later? Or will it matter 2 weeks? No, it won't most of the time. You know, don't make it into something where it's so, has to be so such and such a way, you know what I mean? But anyway. But that's the difference. And God never puts people together that are exactly alike. If you do, you won't stay married very long, because you'll irritate each other to death if you do, if that's the case.
We have a situation kind of like that in our house. There are many things that Mike does now. He's kind of taken over doing it, uh-huh. You know. And I like, when I fold the laundry, I want the laundry folded right. Perfectly. The seam down there, and then fold the sleeve in and lay it down. And he goes, you know, and there it goes. And
yeah,
it ends with all of the wrinkles being right down the front of whatever he's. Right. And I'm glad he's not here. I couldn't say that to him. But you know what? That little bit of something not perfect does not disqualify my getting out of folding all the laundry, you know?
Yeah.
It's better. You win some, you lose some, baby, and you
but
take
you know,
your wins.
Yeah.
With Brenda and I, she does her laundry and I do mine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And she's like, hangs and folds, and I just say, come here. Slap it all
together. Live right out of the basket.
And then, but I know, hey, no, I'm not, hey, I am what I am.
There are things
he
worth
does,
arguing
well.
About and things
he does
not.
Well. The way he, everybody has a way of doing things.
And I know, I don't want her.
And it has you doing more of a
yes.
Give and take.
I don't want her to carry her laundry down the steps, because I did that before and I spill it down the steps.
Right.
You can't see in front of when you have
right.
A basket.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always laughed at these young couples who would complain and moan about their husbands or the other way around and the toothpaste container.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he never enters, he squeezes it in the middle. And, hey, you know, they do sell more than one. Can't you have him have his own toothpaste? Problem solved. You know, you don't have to get a divorce over everything.
Well, you know, my thing has always been this. I tell her, I say, I'm glad to help you. I'm glad to do this, you know. But if you think you can do it so much better than me, knock yourself out. You know what I mean? Rather than fuss and carry on about it, a lot of times, I'll just tell her that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
It's all a lot of give and take.
Yeah, there is.
There are a lot of things that I do think
yeah.
That I can do better than
well,
you.
But
and there are a lot of things
yeah.
That he really does well that I never knew that
yeah.
He did well.
Yeah.
Until he started doing them. You know, anything outside the house, anything in the garden, anything in the... He's great at woodworking, he's great at furniture, all kinds of things that I didn't
yeah.
Even... He's come into his own. And there are a lot of things that I do that I'm not as great at as I thought I was.
Yeah, well, that's the way
it's
we
amazing.
All are.
We're ever learning, I think,
yeah.
Ever.
The blessing of having somebody tell you when you walk out of the bedroom and just got dressed, to walk out and say, boy, you look cute, far overwhelms any little
right.
Thing that I could find fault with.
Yeah.
Just keep telling me I'm your cutie. That's all right, baby. I'm telling you.
Well,
why would you fight?
Yeah. And see, I think that goes both ways to a certain extent. Once in a while, a woman should tell your husband, you look really nice today, you're very handsome, or something like that. You know, one of the things I'm going to share in my sermon today, I'm going to talk a little bit more about love, and I'm going to talk about
yeah,
kids' view of love, too.
Oh,
what they
yeah.
Say is love, you know.
That was a great lesson.
And,
I listened to it at home.
What we used to think it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
But anyway, it's, you know, one of the things actually makes me smile, because I would tell you, but then it would kind of destroy
yeah,
it for out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
But it you know, the thing about it is that it's a give and take. And like I said, God never puts two people that are exactly alike together. And if he does, they won't stay together, I guarantee you. They'll end up getting a divorce, because they'll irritate the life out of each other, because they you know, there's gotta be some give and take. For everything in the natural, these lights in here only work because there's a positive and a negative. And the positive has to run through whatever it's going through the lights and has to return in a negative way, go through the negative to get back to the source. And you know, it's just like that in life, you know, with relationships and everything else. And but you know, I spent a lot of time when me and Margaret first got married trying to build her up because she had a mother that was very negative and stuff concerning her about a lot of things and stuff. Margaret's really good. She's good at doing things. She's very good. And you know, I spend a lot of time telling her how great she is, and I think she is great, you know. But that doesn't mean that I agree with everything she says, because I don't. If I disagree with her, I tell her I disagree with her. I don't have any problem telling her that, you know. And she sometimes won't always tell me that she disagrees with me when I know she does, you know. But and in certain things, but you know, it's that's the way life is, you know. But her mom was very, very good at doing stuff, because her mom was raised with a father that was a carpenter. And many made the coffee tables and stuff in their house, and they built a porch on the back of their house on the second floor, you know, of the house. She built the deck, the porch, not Margaret's dad. She built it, you know. she was really good at that kind of stuff. But we went up her house one time, and she was going to put a linoleum in the kitchen. And her and Margaret were in there figuring it out and all this and that. And I took some measurements in there, and I told them, I said, well, here's what you need to do. You know, I was telling them. They weren't listening to me. I said, look, I said, you can do it the way you're going to do it. I said, but if it don't work, you're just out. I said, if you do it the way I just told you and it don't work out, I'll buy you a new linoleum. You know, they didn't listen to me. They had some gaps and stuff in the linoleum. Well, you know, I told her, see, and sometimes she forgets. I worked in an industry where I measured stuff all the time. I was in a machine shop. I mean, I measured stuff down to the tenths of a thousandth of an inch, you know, and also within inches and feet and stuff like that, depending on what I was doing. And you know, not saying that I can't make a mistake, because I can and I do sometimes. But when you're really good at that, but she had laid some, and most of the time the stuff that she does, even though it's not always the way I do it, you know, it'll end up working, but she had taken some paper bags and she had laid it out on that floor and kind of made a pattern, you know. And you know, it ended up where they had some gaps, you know, but I didn't say anything. I just thought, like, you know, you made your bed, lying in it, basically. I didn't buy her a new one, you know, but I told her, you know. And when we did our kitchen at our house, oh, she drove me crazy, because we was downstairs, this is years ago, we was downstairs and we had this one sheet of vinyl, you know. And I figured out that if I cut this one piece out, because we had a closet that went back in, it was pretty far. We cut this one piece out, our kitchen was kind of small, that everything would fall and that one piece would fit right back in that closet, you know. And I don't know how many discussions we had over that. And I finally told her, I said, this is what we're going to do, we're doing it this way, you know, and that's it, you know. And she was so nervous when I cut it. I let her do the cutting, because she's better at cutting things than I am. You know, I get a little wonky. But anyway, we cut it, laid it down, laid that piece, and went right in the closet. It fit perfect.
But he didn't know what he's talking about.
It's great when a plan works out.
Yeah, but you know, but she's, like I say, she's really good at doing things. I appreciate. And a lot of times I'll help her, but she, you know, when she's doing something, only when she gets into a position where she's not sure what to do, and then I'll step in there and help her, because she don't like me helping her, so, you know. But she'd do wallpapering sometimes, and she'd get really frustrated, because she'd get in a point where she couldn't, get it to fall the right way. And I tell her, well, if you do this or this, you know, then it'll work. And she didn't really like me telling her, but it ended up working, you know, and sometimes, and so. But, you know, that's the way it is with people. I mean, you know, everybody's different, and we all go through the same things.
I love a wallpaper and woman.
Well, see, there was a couple that
she taught John how to wallpaper, and John did it for...
as a job.
Originally, yeah, she taught him how to wallpaper. She showed him how to do it. And John did homorama homes and stuff like that when he was... John was really good at that kind of stuff, painting and all that. He did a lot of homorama homes and things, you know. But
hey, what do you think we close up with a word of prayer here? I think we're doing
well. We got into a little bit of everything here today, didn't we?
That's okay. God's in everything.
Yes, He is.
He's in the measurements. He's perfect.
Yes, He is.
He's perfect. Mike always says, when about playing golf, he says, "There's no way you can get that in the hole, you know, from back here in one shot, like, you know, if it was within a person's reach." And I said, "Yes, there is, Mike." And he said, "Well, what are you talking about?" I said, "There is one shot, I don't know what it is, but there is one shot that is destined, you know, to go in there." You know,
tell them to watch Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Everybody's
you just had to have that father that grabs the fish and carries it in and drops it in the hole.
Yeah. That's funny.
Who wants to pray? We forgot to pray at the beginning, so pray extra hard at the end. Buddy, will you do it?
Well, just thank you for your word today and for your teaching today, Lord.
Yes, Father, sharing.
You're a good God, Father, and you bless your children.
Yes, Lord.
Very greatly, Father. Mm-hmm. Just ask that both services today will be in your honor and your praise and your glory, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Father, just ask that you bless everyone that brings forth your word and your teachings.
Yes.
Father,
amen.
Just have your way today in all of us. Ask it all in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
And as we go forward,